Thanks, Will. Good afternoon. As Phil said, my name's Carl, and I now spend part of my working week working for the Word One-to-One, and part of my working week working for an insurance broker just down the road in the city called RK Harrison. And it's my real privilege to be with you this lunchtime as we begin this kind of three-week series on looking at why we should have confidence in the Word of God and Lord willing, equipping us to be Bible sharers. And I'll be speaking a little bit first from John chapter 3. So if you do have Bibles, please look it up. It's chapter 3, verses 25 to 30. So chapter 3, verse 25. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." So I said, our focus over the next 3 weeks is going to be on sharing the Bible with those around us. And actually, we want to be unashamed in talking about Bible sharing, and unashamed in urging one another to be Bible sharers. Because to know and trust Jesus is the most important thing in the world. And to see why this is, well, at the end of this section that we're looking at, in verse 36, it concludes with a verse that's at the heart of the Christian message. So if we have a look at that, chapter 3, verse 36, it says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." So it's only through belief in Jesus that escape from the wrath of God is available. But Jesus doesn't just offer us escape from wrath, which alone would be the greatest news in the world. But to those who believe, he gives much, much more. The glorious gift of eternal life. So this is why knowing Jesus is both vital and wonderful. And this is why we want to share the Bible with our colleagues. So if you're here today, and actually you're looking into Christian things, and you know you don't yet trust the Lord Jesus, well, I hope seeing this verse makes you see why you should want someone to share the Bible with you. Because if belief in Jesus is key, then it makes sense to give him a hearing. And this is what the Bible enables us to do. To hear straight from Jesus. And today's passage has a lot to teach us about how important this is, as we learn from John the Baptist. And my prayer is he will encourage us to be Bible sharers. Or to want to have the Bible shared with us, as he shows the importance of hearing straight from Jesus. And he teaches us how we can help others in this, by copying in his mindset, which is summed up in verse 30 of our passage. So please do take a look down. John the Baptist says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Which gives us our main point today. Jesus and his word are so powerful that we must point to Jesus and not to ourselves. Or to put that more simply, we need to get out of the way and allow Jesus to speak. So let's take a look at our passage to find out more. So right up front, in verse 25, we see there's a discussion happening between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they take the dispute to John the Baptist for clarification. And before we look at their question, these two verses show us that John the Baptist was a big deal. Because we see he has disciples, and we see his disciples call him Rabbi. They see him as their teacher. And we learn more in chapter 1 about just how big a deal John is. So if you haven't read it before, actually please do go and take a look. Because John was so amazing, he had to tell people that he wasn't the Christ, and that he was just here to point people to the Christ. To let the world know that God's King was here. That was his job, and he did it faithfully. And if we jump back to our scene in chapter 3, we see he's still getting stuck into that job. Because as his disciples and the Jew come to him, clearly confused by what's going on down the river, asking, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing, and all are going to him." And doesn't this question show the impact John's ministry had? We learn all are going to Jesus, yet these disciples, well, they're still hanging around, seemingly confused or upset, but all are going to Jesus. And the response of John in the next few verses, well, it's as wonderful as it is faithful. Please take a look down at verse 27. John says, "A person cannot receive anything unless it is given to him from heaven." And I think here, John's talking about the gift of his ministry, which he reminds them of in verse 28. And please look down. He reminds them, he's being clear, he's not the Christ, but was sent before him to bear witness to him. This was the gift that John had received. This remarkable ministry of pointing people to Jesus. And then he explains in verse 29 and verse 30, well, what a joy this is to him. Using the example of the bride, the bridegroom, and the best man, which the Jews listening at the time would understand the meaning of. In the Old Testament, God's people are often referred to as the bride, and the bride will be wedded to God's eternal King, who is the bridegroom. So John is clear Jesus is the eternal King, the bridegroom, and John is playing the role of the best man. And there's no bigger delight for the best man than knowing that the bride is with the bridegroom. This is what brings true joy, which is what John says at the end of verse 29. "This joy of mine is now complete." He's joyful because his work is done. He desired the very thing his disciples were confused over. He wanted everyone to leave him and go to Jesus. Which leads us on to verse 30. And that's our key verse today, which is John must decrease and Jesus must increase. So John's work is done when the bride hears from the bridegroom. John's joy comes as people stop coming to him and start going to Jesus. And this exchange proves how true he was to this. Because rather than fear losing his remaining disciples, what John said should make them clear. They're listening to the wrong guy. They need to be down the river with Jesus as well. So what can we learn from John and his ministry? Well, I think the point is, we can and should share in the same ministry. We also know the bridegroom and can point people to him. And John the Baptist teaches us the best way to do this. And this passage gives us the motivation as to why we should want to do this. So how does John teach the best way to point to Jesus? Well, quite simply, do what John did. Get out of the way and allow Jesus to speak to them. We need to be clear that no one needs to hear our voice, but to hear his. Which is why the best thing we can do for our colleagues is share the Bible with them. Bring them straight to Jesus. Being clear, we're not sharing the Bible to build our own following. So we don't want endless conversations that go nowhere, where our friends think it's only us that can answer their questions. No, we want to do the opposite. We want to show Jesus and Jesus alone has all the answers. And all of those answers are in his word. Which is why bringing someone to the word is the best way for us to decrease and Jesus to increase. And John the Baptist is so helpful in this, isn't he? Because if anyone might think he merits a following, it would be John the Baptist. I mean, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus calls him the greatest prophet that's ever lived. Yet despite this, John knows he can't save anyone. John knows for his followers to be saved, they have to leave him and go and listen to Jesus. So if John the Baptist needs to get out of the way and let Jesus speak, then we should be doing the same thing. And actually, isn't this an encouragement? Because it takes all the pressure off us. The salvation of our colleagues doesn't depend on us, or our ability to answer questions, or know all the apologetic arguments, It's not dependent on us having a sharp 3-minute testimony or making a perfect declaration of the gospel. Don't get me wrong, these are all great things to be able to do. But I know from experience, they're hard things to do. But also from experience, I've seen how much more effective it is to open the Bible, knowing the Bible has all the answers. The Bible is the greatest persuader. The Bible tells the most important testimony, that of Jesus Christ, and it perfectly declares the gospel. And as we read, turn the page, and chat about what it says, we bring people face to face with Jesus, knowing it's all about him and not about us. Knowing we can lean fully on him and his words. And let's face it, if John the Baptist has to do this, and even Professor Lennox has to do this, well, it's likely that we need to do it as well. So we should use this lesson by allowing Jesus to speak. It's the best way to point people to him. But why should we do it? Are we given any additional motivation? Well, I can see two in this passage. Firstly, in verse 27, the ministry we're given is a gift from God. And secondly, in verse 29, allowing people to hear from Jesus is what brings us joy. So firstly, John sees the ministry he's given as a gift from God. And without dwelling on this, I want to ask you the question, is this how you see the opportunities you have to point people to Jesus? The Lord has work for us to do in our offices, not as a burden, but as a gift. And I wonder if it would help us to see sharing in John's ministry with our colleagues as a gift from God. And then secondly, joy. John's joy was complete because people could hear straight from Jesus. And this same joy should motivate us. And it can be ours. We should rejoice whenever our colleagues hear the voice of the bridegroom. Because whenever I share the Bible with someone, regardless of whether I think I did a good job in sharing or it went absolutely terribly, I rejoice alone in the fact that my friend heard the word of God today. If we've shared a passage of the Bible, we can rejoice knowing they've heard the words of God. And it's the words of God which have all the power in salvation. Which means the most important thing we can do in our office and for our colleagues is enable the word of God to go out. For Jesus to increase and for us to decrease. So the big question I want to leave you with is kind of who in your office could you share the Bible with? Or maybe you're here today and you are looking into Jesus. Well, who here could you ask to share the Bible with you? Thanks.
Thanks, Carl. Well, we've got a bit of time just to ask Carl any sort of practical questions. I've got some questions for Carl, but we might, if there's time, take a couple from the floor as well. I suppose, Carl, a lot of us might be thinking... one of the sort of big barriers is, you know, how do you go about even asking someone if they want to do this? And it's just sort of such a social sort of, you know, leap.
Yeah, very good question. I think what I tend to try and do is invite one of my colleagues out of the office for a cup of coffee or for a bite to eat and just chat with them. And, you know, I'll explain that I'm a Christian and just say, hey, I wonder if you've ever been interested in taking a look at the Bible. And depending on what they say, I'll say, come on, at some point in your life you might be curious to take a look. All I'm asking for is 30 minutes of your time. We're going to look at 18 sentences of a book called John, and at the end I'll ask you two questions. Did you enjoy it, and would you like to do it again? So I want to make my friends clear that it's only going to be 30 minutes. I only want them to do it if they want to do it, and there's going to be no pressure on them at all. If they want to drop out at any time, that's absolutely fine. But hey, why not take a look? You know, it's the best-selling book that's ever been in print. There's got to be some good stuff in it, right?
And in your experience, you know, what has the first session been like? You know, could you sort of take us through what's sort of exactly happened?
Yeah, what tends to happen in the first session is our friends will come with all their objections already preloaded, and they'll want to throw all of those down on the table. And it could be anything to do with any religion, you know, church history, whatever it might be. So I'm kind of learning now to allow the gospel to run the meeting, so I'll try and preempt the first meeting. The first 18 verses, John makes all these massive claims that most of the people I've read with have never considered or looked at before. So before they can go, I'll sit them down and welcome and say, hey, we're going to look at the 18 verses. It's an introduction. I expect you've got loads of questions. Actually, by the time we finish this, I expect you to have more questions than the ones you're thinking of. And we're not going to answer any of them today, because the gospel writer isn't answering those questions here, and this is your unique chance to hear from him. So let's take a look. And then what I want to do is make sure that if it takes 20, 30 minutes to get through an episode, I'll meet for an hour, so we've got 30 minutes to chat afterwards. And then you can chat about lots of stuff in that time. But I want the gospel to set the pace, because if I just engage with all those questions, we'll never look at it, and we'll just get nowhere.
I suppose there's any number of different kind of ways you could do it. You know, it's as many different ways as there are people in the room. But just any tips on where you would do it, where you found sort of has worked in the past?
Yeah, I think in a meeting room in the office is brilliant. If your colleagues, friends are happy to meet there, I tend to do a lot of them in just coffee shops around the city. But what I try and do is make sure I'm somewhere where there's a bit of background noise and all the tables aren't piled up on top of each other, so that you can you can kind of talk without being overheard, and you can talk without being interrupted. So I think that's quite important.
Does anyone have just a couple more questions potentially for Carl? Does anyone have anything burning from the floor to ask about anything in the notes or anything like that? Brian? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's one here as well. Should we go over here first?
Just very practically, I mean, it's a great resource. Would you read the bit from the Bible, or would you read a bit and your friend read a bit?
Yeah, it's a very, very good question. I don't want to put people on the spot at all, so I'll only, if they want to read, that's great. What I'll tend to do is read the verses, unless they're happy to. And then the notes that run alongside it are actually a kind of a conversation that you can run on your own. So I tend to not do anything that's really outside of the book. So the person that I'm with can see that that's where everything is. That's where everything is coming from. So what we're offering, I think, is a sign-up sheet to come for some more practical training if you'd like to do so. And we'll spend a little bit more time in there, kind of running through the resource and how it fits together.
Ryan, is your question still?
Yeah, I was just wondering, Carl, whether you vary your approach depending on who it is you're talking to, as an old mate or a complete stranger, or is it all pretty much the same?
Yeah, I vary it. I think it's really important to say that the kind of tips that I'm giving you are just tips. So what I'm learning as I go through this process is the Lord is always at work. In somebody's life as to why they might say yes and why they might say no, and I don't sweat either of those responses. They're both absolutely fine. But we do it naturally in any conversational situation that we have. We react to the person that's in front of us, and we've been doing it kind of ever since we've been born. So the biggest tip is be yourself. You've uniquely been created, and you've uniquely been given the people that you're in relationship with. So Just give it a go and be yourself. And I think on average, 4 out of 5 people will say no, and 1 out of 5 will say yes, regardless of how you ask.
any other questions? Yeah.
Any practical tips or advice if your workplace is very hostile to your faith, Christian faith?
Yeah, great question. I will do. So any tips if your workplace is hostile to the Christian faith? And that's a really good question. I think whether your work is hostile or whether actually you're blessed enough to be in a situation where people are quite happy and open to talk about it, I think we always want to be sensitive, particularly when we sit in, if like me, you sit in a big open plan office, as long as there's lots of people around. So my favourite approach is to generate good relationships with people, and then to invite those people for a coffee kind of one-on-one and ask them there in that environment, rather than kind of do it in the office in front of other people, because then I've got an individual relationship with that person, and I want to be really, really clear that, again, we're not trying to force anybody into doing anything. It's their wishes. It's an invite to have a look and spend 30 minutes, and if they want to do that, wonderful. and you know, that's okay. I still want to keep that relationship going. That's the I still want to chat with them and meet them for coffee and just keep going. Good question.
It's a very good question. Just so following up from that, Carl, is your experience then that the opportunities you've had have come up in relationships in which you are sort of seeking to love the person and get to know them and that kind of thing? Is that sort of your general experience?
Yeah, on the whole, you just never know. I tend to be, I guess, a bit open, so I'll have a copy of the book with me and whoever I'm meeting with, regardless of how long I've known them, I kind of have it on the table, and if they pick it up or ask some questions, or whatever, I'll give them the chance to have a look and breathe with me. I found that ex-colleagues tend to be more open than current colleagues, though, on the whole. As you leave a company, or they leave the company, the relationship dynamic seems to change and become an awful lot open, more open. I don't know why, but that's just my experience. So don't kind of write off your ex-colleagues. It'd be a big tip. Get in touch with them if they're still around. I mean, why did I get started in this? About 18 months, 2 years ago, I had been trying for 2 years to kind of argue a friend into heaven, trying everything that I could, cuddling him, shouting with him, taking him out, and we kept going back to the same argument on creation, couldn't get anywhere, and in the end I said, hey, you know, why don't we look at the Bible? And he said yes, and I panicked because I've never looked at the Bible with anything before. What on earth am I going to do now? And I knew about the word one-to-one notes, but I'd never picked them up or looked at them, and I met him, and I went through an awful one-to-one, where I just read through, I didn't even know how it worked, I just read through it. He said one thing, Jesus has always existed, and I was in full-on panic mode. Has Jesus always existed? I've got no idea. Yeah, I think that's right. He came back the next week a Christian. God had needed 5 verses, and kind of 10 minutes, and that was a big light bulb moment for me. Every week I'm taught that the word of God is powerful. Yeah, when I'm in the office trying to transition, I'm never getting it out, I'm never using it. So I'm not saying that will happen every time, and certainly in my experience it hasn't happened since. But then what I did over the next 20 weeks is I thought, right, I'm going to arrange 1 coffee a week, meet somebody, say I'm a Christian, and ask them if they'd like to look at the Bible with me. That was it. Hey, I'm a Christian. Have you ever been interested in looking at the Bible? And in 20 weeks, 5 of those people said yes, and I ended up starting 5 one-to-ones. So God is always at work. Those people all said yes, not because of how I asked or there was anything unique about me. That guy didn't become a Christian because I ran the greatest one-to-one ever. It was awful. I didn't even know what I was doing. I couldn't even answer basic questions. God is building his church. God will be working in people who say yes and no. And God will work through his word. So we can just completely relax, take the pressure off. And all I call myself now is a loving page turner. That's all I'm doing. I'm loving them and turning the page. And the rest is up to God.
Carl, thank you so much for coming in. That's been really helpful and inspiring. As Carl mentioned, there is a sign-up sheet just over there where Claire is sitting. If you want just a little bit of extra help, sort of training in terms of how exactly you might go about using these notes, do stick your name down and Carl will be in touch with you. As we close, Carl, would you mind praying for us? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love the world enough to give us your one and only Son. Lord, please give us complete confidence in him and the power of his word. Lord, we pray that around this city he would increase and we would decrease. So Father, please help us to have the right motivations to want to share the Bible with our colleagues. Lord, give us that real joy when we know that someone's heard your voice. And just help us to see the ministry that you give us as a gift from you and not as a burden. So give us great confidence in you and in your word, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.